Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Williams with another Casanova is Crazy edition. First, you know, I can't even start this one off usually. I always thank you, but this one's a very serious Cas is Crazy. As you see, this podcast, I want to talk about Carmelo Anthony, the gentleman that stabbed another gentleman in the heart. One teen stabbed another teen in the heart. It took me a couple of days to do this podcast because I wanted to get all the information that I possibly can regarding this situation. I wanted to look at this from an honest standpoint, not from a black man's standpoint, not from a racial standpoint, not from a stance of prejudice. Now, if you don't know what happened, Carmelo Anthony was a young black man that was in a tent. See, this is the facts we know. He was in a tent. The gentleman, Meatcliff was his last name. I forgot his name. Justin Meatcliff went over to him and told him to leave because it wasn't his school's net. You know, you have trap meets and they all have tents and stuff like that. And apparently, according to witnesses, that he went to grab him, told him to move. He went to grab him. He said, touch me, see what happens. He grabbed him. Meatcliff grabbed Anthony and he pulled out a knife out of his bag and stabbed him. Those are the facts that we know. Now, are there more specifics to it? We don't know. Is there more information that is relevant to the situation that we don't know? We don't know at this point. Now, the father has gone on and said some statements. The twin brother, tragically, the gentleman had a twin brother and he died in his twin brother's arms. He said they've never seen this boy before. So they've never had no interaction with him. And it was like a 30-second thing. He asked him to move. He didn't want to move. Boom, he got stabbed. Now, a lot could have happened within that 30 minutes, my 30 seconds, right? A lot could have been said. But I wanted to be very careful because when I was looking on the internet, I just saw people automatically that are black or jump into Carmelo Anthony's defense, saying it was self-defense. People are pulling up pictures of Meatcliff with him and his brother with guns, talking about their white supremacists. I've seen people have been threatening both sides of the family. I've been seeing the family is stealing money from GoFund because both sides had a GoFund account, which raised almost the same amount, like $200,000, $300,000, a lot of money from each side. And people are making this a political and a race thing. And it's easy to jump on the race banner. It's easy to jump on the black man banner. You know, he feared for his life. He was bullied. There's rumors that he's bullied by these kids and he had that to defend himself and stuff. So I really try to look at all sides and justify why Carmelo Anthony stabbed that boy. You know, maybe he really did feel threatened. And we've had a lot of situations as a black man, people feel threatened and we don't even do anything. And they have been justifiable for it in our society because we've known as black men to be violent or certain things or certain stereotypes. So people always get the benefit of the doubt. Oh, the black man must have been doing science and stuff like that. So that is something that is very common. Now, on the other side of things, so now in this situation, maybe that young man did feel threatened and felt he had to defend himself. You know, maybe he felt he was in a white environment and he was scared when they approached him. And he reacted. The other side does it all the time to black men. Overreact because they think we're violent or we're going to do things. So I looked at it from that point. You know, I said, you know, some payback justice. You know, they do it to us all the time. You know, I really try to stretch my mind to think that way. I really did. Because this is a young black man that no matter what, his life is ruined. To all accounts, he was a good student. He was a star athlete in his school. He come from a two-parent household. You know, he didn't have a broken home or anything that would have this typical stereotypical of a young black man that's violent out here. So I really try to justify it as a black man to defend this young black man. I really did, people. I really did. So then, of course, I said, now, I wouldn't be real to the book I wrote, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, meaning that at the end of the day, we have to take responsibility. Even though tragedy may happen, we still have to be strong to take responsibility. So I said, in that spirit, let me review it from a non-biased situation, from a situation that I don't see color. I'm not empathetic with black men. I'm not trying to create a narrative to defend a black man based on our treatment throughout the years, which happens. We do, you know. And so I looked at it from that text. I said, okay, two young men at a track meet. One young man is in a tent that isn't his school, right? Now, you know, a lot of people are gung-ho for their school. If you're not with us, you against us. So one young man goes to another young man and says, get out my tent. Whether he said it like nicely, hey, man, you need to move, or yo, get the fuck out of here. You know, whatever way he said it, he said what he said. Is the right response to stab? I don't get any situation that if color wasn't in it, politics, all that was in it, that it makes sense for somebody to defend themselves by taking out a knife and stabbing somebody over verbal confrontation or a physical altercation. Even if he grabbed them to pull them out, does that justify the use of a knife? Now, I'll give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Kamel Anthony didn't mean to stab him in the heart and kill him. I'll give him that much. I mean, the heart's kind of a specific place to stab, to be honest. You have to purposely, in my opinion now, you know, when you're stabbing, like you're stabbing up, you know, I don't know if Kamel was bigger than him. So if he was bigger, a little bit taller, he was stabbing up. So was he going for his neck? Was he going? I don't know. You know, through all accounts, there was no, hey, get away from me. Pull out the knife. Say, get away from me. Get away from me. There was no account of that. There seems to have been no witness to say he pulled out the knife and said, yo, I'll use this. Get away from me. Now, there were accounts saying, if you touch me, see what I do. And then after that, he pulled out the knife and stabbed him. There was no pull out the knife, hold it to him like, yo, step away from me, leave me alone. Okay, I can get that. I can completely get that scenario. He pulled out the knife. He said, get away from me, back up. Kamel, Meatlip went and grabbed the knife. They were tussling. He gets stabbed. That scenario there is an iffy one too, but it's not, to me, that's an iffy one. You know, still, you still have the knife, but still, that was an iffy one. You know, that's an iffy kind of like, you know, he shouldn't have the knife, but come on, dude, grab the knife. They were fighting for it. You know, at that point, he thinking like, oh, shoot, he's going to take my knife and stab me, so I got to stab him first. So, okay. But by all accounts so far, and I say so far because there hasn't been any, evidence presented, no film, no nothing, no, you know, nothing. So this is what they said. There was no account of him pull out the knife and saying, get away from me, and they tussle and boom, he gets stabbed. The accounts were he said, touch me and find out what happened. And once Meat Cliff Justin touched him, he whips out the knife and stabs him. Now, I really try to justify it in any way I can. You know, was these bullies that were bullying him? Well, the thing is, these two boys went to completely different schools, right? And according to the twin brother, now it can come out later, I don't know, but according to the twin brother, they have never met this kid before in their life. They don't even know who he is. That's why they was asking him to get out the tent. They had no idea who this kid was. They never met. There was no history between the families or between these kids. There, you know, a whole bunch of malarkeys going on the internet that, you know, the twin brothers were bullies and constantly bullied this kid. But at the end of the day, they went to completely two different schools. They never interacted, according to people now. Now, we could find out some information, but we have to wait for the trial. But these two kids didn't know each other. Even the mother said, "I we don't know this kid. We've never met this kid." The twin brother said, "We don't know this kid. We've never met this kid before in our life." So by all accounts, that is the narrative right now, which I tend to believe, because at the end of the day, you know, they wouldn't lie. They would. I think they would bash him like, "Oh, this was a troublemaker kid," or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They just said, "I don't even know him," because I think it's too easy for them to know if they know this kid or had an interaction with this kid. So, you know, I'm leaning to believe that they didn't know this kid at all. It would have been better if they did, because if there was a history of bullying, he feared for his life because of these kids. But that's also something wrong with that too. So let's. So I was trying it from all type of scenarios. I really was. Then I said, let me just look at it from just no race, no bias, no nothing. Two kids under a tent. One kid says, "Get out my tent." The other says, "Don't touch me, or you'll see what happens." Or even if he didn't say that, even if he said, "Yo, leave me alone, I don't know you," whatever. The other kid grabs him. Now, I don't get the whip out a knife in the bag and stab. If that was the way it happened, because they said this all was like 30 seconds. This was like really, really like short time. That's bad. Because I would say, why did this kid whip out a knife and just stab him? Like just out of nowhere, just stab him. Just like, yo, one freaking motion of out the bag, stab. Then I questioned, why in the first, and this is the question that makes me can't go the defense route. Why does this boy have a knife in his book bag? Why are you at a track meet? One, you're under a tent. That's not your school's. But, you know, maybe he was hollering at a chick. You know, maybe he knew a chick and he was hollering at her or whatnot. I don't know. But why did he have a knife? And that's what I can't get over. That's what I can't justify for the likes of me. I can't justify why this man had a knife. It doesn't make sense. I'm hoping, I really am. Like I said, I still don't believe whatever they found out would justify this boy getting stabbed. Unless we find out that this boy said, "If I see you again, I'm gonna kill you." Or something like a aha moment. Like if that happens, cool. But there, by all accounts, there is no that aha. I just don't understand why he had a knife. And a knife that was strong enough to stab him in the heart. Now, I was talking to my wife or somebody about the knife, and they was like, "Oh, it's this little knife that they use to cut the ropes." So I'm like, okay, so was the knife just on the table and he saw it, grabbed it, and reacted? That's how I think. Like, okay, well, not saying it's still right, but okay, you know, I get it. You know, you feel threatened a little, you grab whatever you can, boom, you stab him by accident. Okay, cool. But by all means, That's not the case. That's nobody said that the knife was there. He just picked up. They said he went into his bag, pulled out the knife and stabbed him. So what type of force do you have to do to, I don't know if anybody's ever stabbed anybody. You stab some meat. You have to put some force behind stabbing. He stabbed him in the heart. Now, to stab somebody in the heart, you have to really jab it. You know, like I could poke somebody with a knife, right? If I'm like, yo, stay back, and I poke you, right? I could poke you, may leave a cut, but you know, I could poke you. But to stab where it enters the heart, that is a real thrustful stab. That's not a poke to stay away from me. That's a full force jab, because you know, you got your bones, you got tough tissue and stuff like that, that you got to really, really stab. You know what I mean? Now, maybe he went through the ribs, I mean, through the chest plate and the little, but you still have to put some force. Like if I go to poke you with a knife, it's not going to penetrate your heart. Like I could poke somebody real quick, like stay away from me. And you know, I could maybe break the skin, but I'm not reaching the heart. There's muscle. There's stuff you have to go through before you get to the heart, right? You have to really thrust to get into the heart. That's forceful. You have to really jab it in there, you know? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, somebody young couldn't do it. I'm not saying that it's, you know, you got to get a running start, but it is a certain amount of force you have to inflict to break through the muscle, to break through, you know I could put a knife on my chest and stab it, and I may cut myself a little, but it's not going to get my heart. I have to really jab it in there. So I'm thinking about all these things of like, this kid jabbed this knife into his heart. And then I think of, why not the stomach? You know, why specifically a heart? Now, it could be a height thing. Maybe the kid was higher, but he's stabbing up. Like, you know, I think of all these things that, you know, if I'm going to stab somebody, I'm not aiming for the chest. I'm aiming for the stomach. I'm aiming for the legs, especially if my intent is not to kill, to scare them off. I'm going to swing it in front of me, right? Get away from me. If that's my intent. If somebody's coming, yo, and they put my hands on me, I'm going to stab him in the stomach, like, boom, got him. You know what I'm saying? But to stab him in the heart, I'm trying with all my thoughts to try to find something that to make it make sense. Then there was another incident that happened. This man went to Walmart. Another black man went to Walmart, killed the wife, was shooting in Walmart, kidnapped the kid. They caught him. There was another incident at FSU where there was a man, I don't think he was black, I don't know, that went there shooting people. And what's sad right now that I'm seeing is that our society that demasculates men, makes them feminine. And you don't necessarily have to be raised by a woman to have feminine emotional ways. Our society does that right now. Men don't know how to control their anger, their pain, their fear, and they act out in violence, emotional violence. Now, I'm not sure about any of those cases. I don't know the facts. Carmelo Anthony maybe, you know, does have a solid defense case. I don't know. But I just see a pattern of emotional men that are acting out in the most unmanly way. See, back in the days, if you had a bully or you was confronted, they would say, man up. It wasn't about winning the fight, but you fight. Back in my day, you fought, and even if you lost, you got respect because you held your own. You stood up. It wasn't like, oh, you got knocked down. It was like, yo, he stood up for himself. He was a man. He took that ass whipping. You know what I'm saying? But he walked away. See, it was a certain amount of respect in that, you know? men were breeded to stand up to their fears. Men were given respect for that. I never in my life growing up, I was bullied and been through a lot of stuff, but it never dawned on me to kill somebody. I wanted bullies gone. It may be in my heart, like, oh God, I wish, you know, but I never had the balls to actually want to do it. But these young men are out here just doing reckless things because of emotions. They can't handle their emotions. Now, I don't know if this is a Carmelo Anthony thing. I don't know. But obviously, he could not de-escalate a situation for himself. Maybe walk away. You know, tell a teacher, you know, what's going on, you know, whatever. But he decided at that moment, for whatever reason, that the only thing he could do was to stab somebody. See, and that's the problem I have with the situation, is there's nothing that would justify him stabbing that boy in the heart and killing him. Even if it was a mistake, maybe he didn't mean to stab him in the heart for some reason, Carmelo tripped and fell on them, I don't know. But regardless, there's no reason why this young black man had a knife in his backpack. And the first thing he did when he felt threatened, instead of pulling up his fist and defending himself, to whip out a knife and kill somebody or harm somebody. I've been watching a lot of white supremacist people, and not white supremacist, people that are pro-white. I'm looking at it because I like to understand all the sides, right? And unfortunately, the things they say about black people make sense. Now, there's some things that I know aren't true, you know, but if I'm looking on the outside in, there is no way I could disagree with them or how they view it. This Carmelo Anthony has brought light to how violent our young black men are. People are giving GoFund count money. I think this family has raised almost $500,000 so far in donations. But we don't have the same energy for black men killing other black men in Chicago, LA, New York, Miami, other places. We say nothing about that. We say nothing about the music that is promoted in our culture. We don't say nothing about the gangster culture that we promote as cool. We don't say nothing about the promotion of violence as is cool. We don't do anything to clean up our own house, but we'd be the first one to complain about what the white man is doing. Now, this situation, they have made black and white, and it's not. It's two young men that both made dumb decisions. Carmelo made a dumber decision, but both are like, you know, unless he was told by the teacher to make sure nobody in the tent that's from another school is in his school to do it, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, they both made bad decisions, and one kid's life is gone. I cannot agree with people on the net. I cannot agree with the defense of Carmelo Anthony at this point. I don't see any fathomable reason why he stabbed that kid in the heart. There's no fathomable reason. I see people talking about old self-defense, you get what you deserve, and it's horrible. This is a young 17-year-old man, straight-A student, a star athlete on a football team, and you're saying he deserved to die because he was trying to get somebody out of his school tent. Now, maybe it was a little bit too aggressive. Maybe it was wrong. But at the end of the day, does that deserve a knife to the heart? And it shows, and what we do now, if everybody was saying they want justice for this kid, like, okay, whatever he did is what he did, but let's, you know, make sure he gets justice. 100% with that. because we do know in certain situations, young black men do get different treatment. He had a $1 million bond. And he got a black judge and she reduced it to $250,000. And now he's out on parole until his trial. So I'm 100% for protecting this kid and making sure his legal process is correct. You know, I get that. But to claim his innocence already, to sit there and blame the victim that's dead now, that it was his fault. You know, I saw a meme of their picture saying he's the definition of watching Find Out. Horrible. And this is black people doing it. I see more racism right now with this from black people than I do from white people. Even Justin's father, the victim's father, said this is not about race or politics. We just want justice for our son. They didn't bash the family. They didn't even bash the kid. They didn't say, fuck this little kid. They could have done. But they said they just want justice. It was a senseless killing, and they don't know why this happened. They didn't bash the family. They didn't call them niggers or just how black people are. They didn't do none of that stuff. They were very respectable during their interviews. You saw the heart getting pain, but in no way did they say, well, even when the woman's asking, she's like, you know, we're not even going to acknowledge that man. We're not going to acknowledge the boy. We're not going to talk about him. We're not going to acknowledge him, you know, respectfully. And I get it. You know, I'm not going to acknowledge the killer of my son. I get it. Now, the father did do something questionable. Mika's father went to the conference that Carmelo Anthony's parents were having. Now, they escorted him out. Now, I do understand that because really they don't know what this, you know, I mean, on the safe side, you don't know if this man's going to whip out a gun, kill somebody, strangle. You know, it's very, very tense situation. Now, by all means, maybe he wanted to go there and hear what the parents had to say, you know. Like, your son killed my son. What do you have to say about that? Are you going to say you're sorry for our loss? Or, you know what I'm saying? Maybe. But I do think, you know, timing is everything. That was bad timing. It really was. Because really, we don't know what this parent's going to do and things like that. Now, I think that the internet has gone crazy about, oh, he's a bully. That's where his son gets it from, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it was reverse, right? And the white kid killed the black kid. And the parents went there and were yelling at the parents, just as everybody would say, see those parents that are sad. They just want justice, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God, that's hard. But that was a verse of like, oh, you know, me. But I do understand for the press conference, there is a safety concern because this man could be coming here to murder people. Which, you know, and it's not a black or white thing. This is a man that just lost his son. So I get it. But at the end of the day, people were getting a race for, oh, he's a bully. Look, he's bullying. The man went there quiet. He said nothing to nobody. Apparently, he had no weapon on him. I think he just wanted to hear what they were going to say. He just wanted to hear what the parents were going to say. So, you know, at the end of the day, I get it. It's funny because I met this person a few days ago that her son was in the military. And he was hurt. He had PTSD and he was married, and for whatever reason, him and his wife got into an argument and he wound up eliminating his wife. He shot his wife. And the mother of the son and the mother of the daughter that was shot are good friends now, support each other to raise their grandchild, which I think is a beautiful thing. And during the conversation, she did say that he had PTSD and his wife was triggering it. And I did say, yes, that probably did happen. But to be honest, no triggers deserve to be killed. And she said, oh, no. She had to understand. She's like, we're all hurting. You know, she did say, I could at least see my son. She can't ever see her daughter. She was like, so, you know, I get her pain because at least I could see my son. And that's the way the parents should handle it. Now, maybe Meekliff's father was going to do that. Maybe he wanted to talk to the parents and say, I don't know what happened. You know, I was told what happened, but, you know, I want you to understand that I just want justice to be done for my son. I want the truth to come out. He's a young man and he probably made a mistake. And I forgive him for that mistake, but it still hurts. And we are going to be looking for justice to be done for our son. Maybe that's what he wanted to say. Because during his interviews, he in no way bashed the family. He in no way bashed the kid. He didn't even say, oh, this because a bad kid. There was no bashing, nothing. And it shows the love and the heart they have. Now, don't get me wrong. Behind closed doors, maybe they call it all the nigger names out. Niggers. Whatever. But in public, they are composing themselves very maturely and are allowing the justice, at least that the truth will come out. Justice will prevail. It's a senseless killing. We don't know. And they said, it's not about race or politics in this situation. That's not what this is. This is two young men. That one is dead. One is in jail. And we just want the truth and justice to be served. That's it. I respect that. I'm not going to go far on to condemn Carmelo Anthony. I'm not going to go as far to curse him out or I'm not going to do that because this young black man, obviously, I don't know what he's going through to feel he needed a knife. Now, I do know a lot of young black men, unfortunately, that do come from a very privileged life that regardless of how much, how lucky they are, how blessed they are, really want to live that gangster life, that violent life, because it's so glorified in our culture. Like the other day I was in my car and some Keen Vaughn songs came up. Now, if you don't know who Keen Vaughn is, he was a young man that was out of Chicago that was accused of murdering a lot of people in Chicago. He eventually got murdered himself. Well, he eventually got shot. He was beefing with somebody. Somebody shot him in self-defense. And he died. And then later it was found out, which I mean, it was that he has killed a lot of people in Chicago. He was a real murderer to the point where some people even consider him a serial murderer, how many people he killed. And I was listening to his music, right? And I was jamming so hard. Like I felt it. It was one of his songs. I forgot the name, Crazy Story song. And he was talking about this girl, how he killed her boyfriend. And blah, blah, blah. And you know what? By all accounts, that may be a true story. But I felt it. I was jamming. The boy's talented. Regardless, he's talented. Unfortunately, his talents went to the wrong things, but he was a talented young man. But I was feeling it. And then I stopped and said to myself, why am I feeling this music so much? Now, I'm from the hood. I'm from the Bronx, New York, from the projects. And there's a certain amount of understanding I have, but I was feeling it. Like I was like, oh, there's a stupid bitch. I'm from the O. I was feeling it. I murked him and I've been, he ain't bulletproof. I was like, y'all was feeling it, right? Then I realized this is the culture that I live in that allows me to really understand this type of talk. I have never murdered anybody myself. I've never been in a situation where I even had to pop a gun out at people. You know what I'm saying? I've had some things happen to me. I've been robbed. I've been guns pointed. I've been through some stuff, but I've never went through that situation. I've never popped somebody and murdered somebody or been in my car with my gun. And I'm like looking at homie like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You better chill out because nigga, you ain't bulletproof. You know what I'm saying? Never did none of that stuff, but I related so much. I felt that shit. You know? And then I realized that because of the culture I live in, because it's so prevalent in the culture, that anything of violence, it seemed as a badge of honor. You know, he popped this dude that threw a brick at his car. Like, that is not justifiable. Somebody throws a brick at your car, you blow them in the head. But I was feeling it because in our society, in our culture, that's justifiable. Yo, nigga, I had a Lamborghini. You broke my window. You deserve to get shot, nigga. And it sounds so good. It makes so much sense. Even how I say it, if I was in the hood, I say, yo, this nigga fucking threw a brick at my fucking Lamborghini, my nigga. Yo, I took my gun out, popped that nigga. Yo, it makes sense. If I was Asian and I said that, they would look at me like I'm stupid. If I was in any other culture, they would look at me as I'm stupid. If I was even in the white trashy area and said, yo, he pulled a brick, he hit my Lamborghini, they're going to be like, how the fuck you afford a Lamborghini being with us? Like, you know, it's not going to make sense, the story. In no other culture will the story make sense. But it makes sense to me that this kid that's probably a drug dealer, a rapper, has money for a Lamborghini. And that if somebody takes a brick and breaks the window, he has all right to pop that nigga in the fucking head for breaking your shit. Nigga, now you know. And it makes sense in our culture. It's like the people defending Carmelo Anthony. Like, yo, nigga, if I told you, you gonna find out. And you do some shit and you get stabbed, nigga, that means you found out. And we justify it. We don't question it. In no other country, in no other culture, this type of behavior would make sense. None. You can't go anywhere in the country and people will justify, as a culture now, I'm not saying individual situation, I'm saying as a culture will justify violence for no goddamn reason. They would say, yo, you should have took the brick back and hit him in the head with the brick. Okay. I can see culture saying that. But to say, yo, whip out your Glock and shoot that nigga, most black people like, yep, he deserved that. He should have never hit your car with the brick. And that's culturally. Now, you're going to have those people, oh, no, that's stupid. Well, of course. But culturally, that makes sense. Culturally, these kids could talk on their rap songs about people they murdered, and it becomes a hit within our culture. We glorify it. We jump on it. We love it. Then we get mad when somebody like Carmelo Anthony got a knife in his book bag ready to defend himself. Feeling he has to defend himself. Let me clear that up. Taking out a knife and stabbing somebody. And people are like, yo, he found out. That is sick mentality our culture has. Absolutely sick. Am I crazy for seeing it this way, people? That we live in a culture that is so violent, is embedded. Gang culture, violence, murder is so embedded in this culture that we really justify and defend it. We justify it and defend it daily. And then when somebody speaks out against it, oh, they ain't real. You a coon. You ain't for the culture. Like, are you serious? Am I crazy? If you're listening to this podcast and you really have been following me, you understand that I'm pro-black all day long. I love my black people. I love black men's mental health. So at the end of the day, I would never demeanor this kid. I don't know what he's been through in his life. I don't know why he felt that day I need to have a knife in my book bag. I don't know. All I could do is look at the actions and judge that. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you've been through in life, there's no justification of taking a life. Especially in that matter. It doesn't make sense. I don't think there's any justification of him having a knife and stabbing the boy in the heart. There just isn't justification of it. There really isn't. And as a culture, we need to call out when our own culture is not doing what they need to do. We don't need to call out a man when he's not paying you for your lunch or for your dinner or take your shopping trips. We're not going to call out women because they out there just having 150 different bodies and baby mamas and shit. We're calling out the wrong things. We need to call out the sexy reds. Now, I'm not anti-sexy red. I'm not saying that, but we need to call out shit like that in our community that's not reflective of our community or is not what we want to be reflective of our community. We need to call this shit out. We got to stop pointing fingers at the white man. The white man did this, the white man do that. Who the fuck cares about the white man right now? We don't need the white man. We don't need none of that stuff right now. We make enough money, have enough influence to do our own shit. But instead, we sit there and we argue and we fight and we complain about the white people, what they're not doing for us or what they're doing to us. But we never talk about what we're doing to each other. We never talk about the violence within our communities. We never talk about everything that we're doing to hurt ourselves. We don't do that. And we need to start doing that. We need to stop this idea that our culture is the best and we're just perfect. The way we are, we have nothing to do. Everything that's wrong with us is somebody else's problem. As a culture, our problem is cops, white people, the system. Within our culture, what's the problem? Black men and the narcissists or black women and having numbers and being baby's mom. We blame everybody else for our problems, but we never look at ourselves. And then we mad when people exploit that about us. At the end of the day, if I knew that there was a race that was so ignorant of their own problems that you could manipulate them to spend the money on us, get money, all that stuff, shit, I'll do the same goddamn thing. That's what life is. People exploit each other. Businesses exploit what they know about you and promote to you. And at the end of the day, that's how they make money. And we allow it. Every black person online right now that is speaking about Carmelo Anthony and defending him should feel ashamed of themselves. Because at the end of the day, he killed a 17-year-old boy. And regardless of what happened, it should have never escalated to him stabbing somebody in the heart. There's no scenario that unless he had a knife on himself and was stabbed and going to stab Carmelo. And now he's defending himself. But other than that, there's no other situation that's justifiable for him to stab somebody in the heart. I'm sorry. And this is a young black man. I hate that there's nothing that we can say at this moment that's going to defend his actions. I've been trying to, because I wanted to be responsible about this podcast. I didn't want to say ignorant shit. I didn't want to bash him. I didn't want to bash the victim. I didn't want to do that. I just look at the facts. The only fact that I am sure of, that there is no reason that this kid should have been stabbed in the heart. There has to be some crazy next level explanation that we don't know right now that's going to say, oh, okay, he had to defend himself. But at this point, man, do all accounts, there is no like aha moment in the situation where you're going to say, yeah, he deserved to defend himself and kill that boy. See, black excellence, as they call it, isn't only being black, being excellent because you're black, is actions. I don't celebrate when black people do things. I don't. I'm not the type of black person, I've said this before on a podcast, that, you know, I they say, oh, what's his name is the first black engineer, is the first black this. None of this stuff we doing is like it to me. It's like when the lab monkey does sign language. And people are like, oh, look at the monkey. He did sign language. Like we weren't capable of it. See, there's a difference between not being capable of it and overcoming something and doing something that's like, oh my God, that needs his praise, because like you're doing something that, you know, couldn't be done, that people can't do. But you going to college and becoming a neurosurgeon or becoming the first flight attendant is not something we can't do. Now, it may have been something that over the years that we couldn't do. But in general, it's not something we can't do. We don't have we don't lack the mental capacity to be doctors or lawyers or first time engineers or chess champions and all. We're not monkeys with an IQ of 2. So when we do something great, it's like, wow. But that's how we treat ourselves, like monkeys, like the first black engineer at Harvard. Wow. You know, like it should be the first person that after apartheid, not apartheid, but after Jim Crow laws and stuff was abolished, then that's a great accomplishment. Like this is the first black person to go to Harvard, to graduate from Harvard. That's great because we weren't allowed to do it. But now we could do anything we want. There's not a career that a black person can't do. So why when a person does it that's black, whether it's male or female, we praise it like it's a monkey learning how to read and write, or like a monkey that says hi. It's like, oh my God. Because the reason why is because that normally their species can't do that. So it's a great accomplishment for them to do that. But with us, everything we do, black excellence, the first black lawyer, the first business owner, the first person to own a winery, first black person to own this, the first black person. Who the fuck cares if they're black? Because to me, all you're saying is that it's shocking because most of black people don't have the mental capacity to do this. And this one person overachieved that. They broke their limits. They evolved. But anybody black could go to college and get any degree. It's not attainable anymore. There's no Jim Crow laws that stopping somebody from becoming a doctor or a lawyer or a bus driver or whatever. There's nothing stopping anymore. So when they do it, it's not because they went through they were fighting the law and they got justice in the court. So they finally were able to go to school. Those are the people back in the day that deserve the wow, because they fought a system that told them you couldn't do it and did everything in their power to keep it that way. So yeah, those people deserve the praise. Not Susan, that her team won a debate just because they're black. Oh my God, black excellence. No. No. Because we could have had a lot of people going to those fields earlier. They just, black people just didn't feel the go into it. That's why I see that I get mad. Not because I'm not proud. I understand still you got to put the work in, and I'm proud of that. But it's because they treat us like monkeys. We don't have the mental capacity. So when he does it, oh my God, this black person did this. Let's praise it. Black excellence. And other cultures look at us like we fucking idiots. Like, are you're happy because they became the first pilot? Like, this is 2025. Like, at the end of the day, like, why didn't this shit happen before? There was no Jim Crow laws and shit like that. We weren't sitting there like, oh my God, you did that. Good monkey. Here's a treat. That's how it is to me. That's what I hear. We are capable of so much. But we do things to ourselves. Carmelo Anthony went to that school with a knife in his book bag. He comes from all accounts from a two-parent home, star athlete, good home breeding. And there was no reason, but you know, black culture has it that our strength is our valence. Our strength is what we could do to ourselves, how we could destroy ourselves more. That's our strength. That's our flex. The more you bash us, even though you are us, the more clout you get, the more clicks you get, the more attention you get. Because the minute you start talking popular, when the minute you start talking love and redemption and growth and all that, oh, nobody will listen to you. Like my podcast, I got a lot of listeners. I know I got thousands of listeners. I know that. But do you get, but, and that was just because I'm speaking truth. Imagine how more popular I would be if I bashed black women, if I bashed black men, if I made it controversy, if I said crazy shit, had some cool catch lines or whatever. I was dancing on TikTok, doing a dance. Oh, then I'll be the shit. People listen to me all day long, even though I'm spilling dumb shit. But they'll believe me all day long. If I sat there and said, a black woman deserves for me to give her $250 a year just for being my woman. Give her $50,000 when I married her. Took care of everybody. The woman is the God. I'm just here to serve her. Oh my God, he's the greatest. You know, let's go 50-50 because, you know, we want to build. We, you know, we bring our incomes together. We could build something great. That's what other cultures do. You know what happens? Oh, your misogyny, your ego, you're just cheap. If you can't afford me, just tell me you can't afford me. That's what we live in today. That's our culture. We don't celebrate true excellence. We celebrate our downfall. I feel for this boy. I really do. This young black man, by all accounts, was a good kid. And this mistake, because, you know, I tried to give it a benefit. I didn't think he had the intent of killing him. But what's done is done. And this poor boy's life will forever be changed. He will not have a normal life, no matter what he does. Even if he gets acquitted, it doesn't matter. Shit, Chris Brown beat Rihanna like 20 years ago. And people are still talking about that shit. You murdered somebody. So you're always going to have people out there that actually hate your guts because you took away their son. You took away a son. You took away a boyfriend. You took away a brother. You took away a mentor. You took away a star athlete. You took friends. You took away somebody that meant something to other people. Now that young man will never live his dreams. That young man will never have kids, never marry. That young man will never experience life because you took it. Am I crazy for seeing it this way? I am in pain for young black men now. I'm in pain because we are hurting. And being that masculinity is stripped in our society, we don't know how to deal with our emotions anymore. We can't be men. That's how men dealt with the emotions. They were men. But right now, we can't be men anymore. So we have no outlet. So now we get mad. We get emotional. And we stab people. We shoot people. We cause drama and pain to others. We promote our violence and make it seem cool. We sit there and we extract everything that's evil within us. Use that. Show it to the world and say, this is the way we are. Then get mad when people treat us that way. I pray for Camilla Anthony's family and himself. I pray for Justin Meacliff's family. I do. I pray for them. I don't pray for Camilla Anthony's family because I feel sad about what the kid did. I don't. I feel sad that what he did affects their lives now. Their lives are turned upside down. They have other kids as well. And because this boy's mistake, their lives are going to be turned upside down almost forever. This boy has lost his life, essentially. There's no jail sentence he can get that's going to have him escape the guilt and the responsibility of what he did. This family, Meacliff's, Justin Meacliff's family, are always and every day going to be reminded of the child they lost because they have a twin. They look at him and know there should be two. It's painful. But maybe I'm just crazy for seeing it this way. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I got issues. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Maybe I'm betraying my people by not automatically thinking this is a race thing and that Justin Meatcliff should be deserved to get killed. So at the end of the day, this is crazy. Am I the only one who sees this? I want to thank everybody for listening to my podcast. Trust me, guys, I really, really appreciate you so much. I'm really going into this blogging thing real hard in the next few months. With me and my wife, a couple of critics, we're doing that hard. Divorce not an option. Thank you for the feedback and the love. And with my other project, the Culture Radio, download that, culture.skin. This is the year of the work and the brands, and I'm going to be a full-time content creator, one day. That's where I want to go, and I'm going to push towards that. Sometimes you make decisions in life, but I think I have a voice. People listen to me, and I need to express that voice more. So I'm going to be doing a lot more podcasting and stuff like that. I know you say, Cash, you said that before, but this time I really mean it. In my life, I'm doing some changes, even though life is good. Don't get me wrong, people. Life is good. I'm not going back to depression, but I got to make some more improvements health-wise and decision and business-wise. So you're going to be seeing a lot of content from me, a lot. But like I said, guys, I appreciate you. Hit me up on blackmensmentalhelp.com. Check out this podcast and all my other podcasts as well. I'm in my fourth year right now. I'm doing a podcast, and I appreciate the love y'all giving me. Until next time.